Welcome to Fusion Talk.
With Anouk and Steve.
Hail the new MVP from Mol in Belgium. I worship you and adore. The only reason I worship you and adore, not only have you become an MVP, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
But you've become an MVP in two subjects.
Yes.
And I'm the one that's supposed to have the ego.
But we already know that I have my ego as well, so.
It's developer's ego. We'll get onto that a little bit later. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is. So on Friday, the 1st of March, I received my notification that I've been awarded as an MVP inside the category SharePoint and Power Apps. So it's totally what I'm doing daily in my daily life. So I'm very happy with it.
And?
And we will keep on doing the good things and sharing everything.
And. No, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I got my MVP a year, and this is the first time, first MVP?
The first time that I was nominated, and I received it immediately.
You do know that the real high-end, top priority MVPs always get turned down first. And then they have to reapply.
It was with you the case, but
that's what I'm saying. All the top end IMVPs, Marine as well. I think he was also not hit first time round. So no, but that's brilliant. That's cool. Pretty cool. You're very proud of yourself.
Of course, it's always nice to be rewarded with this one, because for many people it's a goal in IT, or in technology or Microsoft. It's a goal to become an MVP.
Agreed.
For me, it was never a goal. I just like to share the knowledge that I have and share the information that I have. But yes, it's very nice to be rewarded now.
Cool. So you got some thank yous, I guess.
Yes, I already did it on social media. I thanked a lot of people. First of all, I thanked you also for your support and doing all of this together with me. But also in Belgium, Yannick Reekmaas. Rick van Roeselt, because Rick nominated me. Thomas nominated me as well, so he sent out another extra email. Moraine supported me as well. Elio, all of them actually. And then my colleagues, Femke and Martin, both MVPs. So they have reviewed my answers to all of the questions that I received as an MVP. So
yeah.
I had a little bit of support of them. And also Sarah gave me
Fenner.
Fenna gave me tips and tricks for filling in the application, and Kevin also, when in January it was, was a new MVP selected, and he was reaching out to me, why aren't you on that list? I will send some information over. So yes, thank you all for supporting me.
It's the first act of community that happens when you get that, I'm going to be an MVP, you know, and you've got to fill that form out. I've been at so many speaker events in the speaker room where the conversation is, hey, what do I put into this question for the MVP form? Because it's the questions are tricky.
Yes, I did it slightly different.
Did you indeed?
Yes.
So this is advice to those budding MVPs out there.
I've wrote my answers and then I asked them to review it to Femke and because I really want the answers to be mine. Instead of putting in information you want or Microsoft wants to hear from you.
No, I think that's the way most of it works. I mean, I think that people say, hey, I filled out my question and this is what it looks like, and people read it and they give comments, and that tends to be what's happening. So,
but it's a good thing.
No, it is. So, but as I say, it's the first act of community, so it is pretty cool. And just in time for MVP Summit.
We will see if we can make it, yes or no, but...
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah, no, it is nice. I decided not to go. Marin and I had a long conversation about it. We're both busy on a big project at the moment. And so we decided against it. He's done it. I've not. So hopefully I'll get renewed and then I think I will do it next year. But yes, but of course it must be frustrating. They issue the MVP notices when all the registration for Summit is now closed. Well, that's a fact. You can't change it. It's the way it is, yes, at the moment. It is. So.
But as Rick already mentioned, if you send us a new MVP to a special email address, you maybe are still able to get there.
Yeah, no, so we'll see what happens. That'll be cool. See. Well, I hope that happens for you because it will be a rather special 5 days.
Yes, it will be something special to be in the headquarters of Microsoft.
Yes, it's been on my list to do that as well. And while you're there, you can go and see Google's because they're in the same place. So, and you can work out which one's which.
Oh, but if Google is there, then I can get in contact for...
Cloud Tour, but Cloud Build.
Yes, because I've give you some information about Google, but my friend or my student or guy where I was in school with... He works for Google.
Ah, yes.
In Seattle. So I can reach out to him and have a nice drink together.
Find the best bars and best restaurants.
Yes.
Nice. Well, congratulations. It is seriously cool to do. It's not an easy journey to get. You've got to put a lot of your own time in. And it's well rewarded. Because they reward you with about 6 meetings a week that they invite you to, if not more. But, of course, each of those is all stuff that you can and cannot say. Of course, it's all at the MVP. So, and it's really good to have that inside line because you can't actually say, hey, Microsoft are going to do X and Y, but you can hold back on some of the decisions if you know some of the changes are moving forward. So, you know, you're able to sort of, without sort of sharing the information, be able to sort of colour some of your decisions. So.
Looking forward to see how it will go. I do think this month will be... Every information will come and I will let it come and see how I can deal with it. And then I probably need to go and select which meeting invites I will accept and which not.
Yes, that's true. So now you're an MVP. You don't need me on your podcast anymore.
Of course I need you. Who else is going to discuss all of this with me?
That's true. Well, it's a pleasure. It really is. It's incredibly enjoyable doing this. So that's good. All righty. So we mentioned Bremen last time, so we don't need to do that, other than the fact that they had a fire in the meantime, but the cars were okay. That's the important thing. Oh, and the people were okay as well. Nobody was hurt.
I do think the people are more important than the cars.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. My mistake. So that'll be pretty cool. So we had a question from Kevin.
Not really a question, but a very nice suggestion for a new subject.
The thing about Kevin is that he listens to his podcasts in the supermarket.
Yes.
So we could have some fun at some point, and I haven't done it yet. Moraine and I might just actually have to do, you know, something along the line of clean up in aisle 17. Kevin's knocked over some tomatoes. No, he likes to listen to his supermarket, but he came up with an idea. So he actually had a suggestion that we could potentially put in. And of course, Kevin's awesome. So we're going to take it on board.
Yeah, but I do like his suggestion.
It is a good one.
It's a very good one. And it's completely in the line of what we are talking about in our podcast. So,
agreed.
Yes. Do we want to know what the suggestion was?
It would be a good idea.
So... Kevin asked us to talk about when to do it yourself to build an application or when to buy something.
And why.
And why, yes.
Then the benefits and the disadvantages.
Yes.
It is true. Do we have this consideration every time? So, for example, you need something. We'll worry about the details of what we're going in a minute or two. But is it not... a normal process for somebody to say, I need to buy the software X because I've seen it in the app store and it's going to give us the perfect answer. Is that not the normal routine? That you look for the off-the-shelf, the OTS version?
It depends.
Oh, God. Depends. Nice. So is this one of the questions for the quiz then on YouTube? It depends, Steve. If you want to catch that, by the way, we'll put the link in the thing. But yes, so something else that we get involved with is a YouTube show called It Depends. So it depends on what?
If you are a large organization that maybe have a completely development team available... then you maybe have more opportunities to develop it yourself or let your team develop it.
I get all of that. I get all of that. I was just trying to work out how people step into this conversation. Because very often what happens is that you get shadow IT when they just buy it themselves.
Have you listened to the IT speed dating version of our podcast we made?
I know. No, I'm getting
it. We talked about these things already. So,
but that's not the normal way in, isn't it? Users come in and say, hey, I'm going to buy this application.
We need to get more view of the requirements they have and what they want to do and how much time we have to do it and all of that.
Yeah. So obviously what we're suggesting here in this podcast is not underlining any of our other suggestions about making sure you're aligned with the business, understand what they need, understand what their requirements are on a day-to-day basis, not just for a specific application, but regular communications between IT and the business is key. And maybe that's another podcast to look at how best to move that forward. But so let's assume we have that in place. So then we will get a user saying, I need to do something. And then we have a choice of whether we find a solution off the shelf or whether we build it ourselves. And it doesn't matter about the scenario.
Nope.
Basically, there are always pluses and minuses. So what we want to try and do in this podcast is simply try and identify the things you should consider.
Yep. And we actually have a scenario for it.
We have a live example that we've been recently talking about.
Yes. So we were talking about our podcast and getting more information out on social networks and on a regular basis.
Just keeping people updated. Let us know when the next one's coming out, what the subjects might be. Trying to get people to talk to us like Kevin did and responded. Yeah.
And we can go to social media and we can create a post every single day. But we forget about it.
I do. You don't. You're brilliant. But that's okay. So the requirement is quite simple then. It's a high level requirement is that we need to be able to, let's just limit it down. We need to be able to post to Twitter and to LinkedIn to try and build our listening numbers up for Fusion Talk.
Yes.
Because there are tens of thousands of people out there that need to be listening to this podcast.
Of course.
And so we've got to try and get them out there and let us know that this is available every couple of weeks.
Yes. And one of the requirements is to have a post every 3 days.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, boss. Fine. Post every 3 days. We're off. Okay, so we basically said how we're going to do this, and I pointed out that there are a number of tools around. I've used some of them in the past, but they're a little on the expensive side. But we had a look around, and we came up with one that somebody else has been using. It doesn't matter what the product is, but we found a tool, and it was a couple of hundred euros a year or something to allow us to do two channels and for both of us to have access to it. Actually, it was more than that. It was about 300 euros a year, but that's okay. So we found a tool.
Yes.
And then you
found a tool, and I said we can build it ourselves.
Developer's ego. In it comes. I could do this better than they did.
Yeah, I didn't say better, but I said we can build it ourselves, and I did.
Does that mean that you actually don't hear yourself saying the word better? All right. So yes, we sat there and thought, okay, well, you know, 300 euros is a lot of money. But at the end of the day, we can put posts into the future and we can pre-program them and then we can put them in. And yes, we then kind of had this idea and said, actually, we could build this as a power app, as a workflow or as a whatever.
Yes.
Create a list.
Create a list and have some workflows running for us and see what they can do to Twitter or to X and LinkedIn.
So this is where we're going to start. So for the next kind of 15 minutes, half an hour, however long it takes, I am going to buy an application straight off the shelf. I know how they work. I know what it does. and everything else. And we're going to look and try and understand the value of doing that.
You're going to convince me to buy something instead of building it myself.
No, I'm not going to do... We're not going to do a an M365 distilled podcast here where Moraine and I shout at each other to get the best solution. No, that doesn't work for
but
us.
But you will talk about the advantages of buying it, and I will talk about the advantages of creating it myself.
I think so. I think we want to talk about the value that it will create. So, for example, we're probably going to spend a lot more money developing it than we're going to do buying it. Okay? That's going to happen, regardless.
Yes.
So we'll look at how that value comes in. And where that sits in terms of whether it's a high-profile one or a low-profile one. Functionality, automatic updates, those kinds of things. They're all things that need to be considered to do with the application. So my question to you is, how do you want to proceed with this? Do we want to do it like it depends? Do you want 2.5 minutes to present your subject?
No, that's another show.
Different show.
Let's just have the conversation. Like we normally do.
So we just tell everybody how we actually operate and work with each other. That's okay. Doesn't matter. It works very, very well indeed.
It works very well. But I do need to say sometimes you are saying something over there and think about completely different things. But even then, it works.
Creative brains, unfortunately, a creative brain. You have a nice logical approach to this. I don't, even though you keep telling me that developers are not logical, but that's a load of lies. We know you have to be logical, but that's okay. Let's not get stuck into that, because I'll just lose that argument too. So, all right, I'll tell you what then. So here we go. So we're going to buy it out of the box.
Yes.
It's in terms of price, it's a fixed price. It's a fixed price every year. It's a license fee. And it meets the core requirements, which, of course, is to create some posts, send them to social media, and get feedback from the social media in the application. And it works the same. There's lots of videos around that shows me how to use it. I can talk to people in the community if I need to. So why would I not want to do that?
If you buy a tool for it, you need to set up for which platforms you want to have it.
Agreed.
And every other platform you want extra, you need to buy. You need to pay extra money in
that
it.
That is true.
So if you are going to buy things like that, you need to considering to be aware of. And you need to be aware of what the cost will be. If you are going to create it yourself, you have APIs available where you can just say, hey, use this API, and we can have extra platforms without a lot of costs.
Are we assuming that your hourly rate is free then?
No.
Oh, then let's just stick with, just for now, let's stick with no. So there is a cost.
Haven't you heard the last words in my sentence?
Which were?
Without a too much of a big cost.
Too much.
Yes.
When have you ever developed anything, and I'm not knocking you personally, but when have you ever developed anything that worked the first time?
Never.
There you go. So, in fact, even if you do have that item in there, but let's just, it takes more time and effort. So, you know, I don't know how many hours we can think about this, but we can look at it. We'll see where we go with that in a moment or two. Just in terms of the cost, it is a very valid point. So the product that we ended up looking at in the end, we looked at a few of them. Cost-wise, you could either have an individual account, so only one person could access it. We could cheat by sharing the password and username.
Yep.
But nowadays, of course, they're doing more and more MFA and multi-factor and confirmation of password, so making it nearly impossible for you to actually share an account.
Passwords, yes.
Bastards. But anyway, that's fine. I suppose they have to protect their IPR, and I do understand it. And of course, I ethically respect it, and I would never do things like that at all. But I think I have 56 people accessing my Netflix account at the moment. But that's all right. I'm joking. Netflix, I'm joking. All right. Anyway, I have 56 brothers and daughters and grandchildren. It says you can share it with your family.
I think there will be a limit for it, but
I
yes.
think there will be. All right, but I get it. But let's not go down that line. So yes, there are multiple people. So that basically doubled the price for every channel that yes. you wanted to put in, and it was a monthly figure, and it was €12 or something per channel per month.
Yes.
So not that we're going to start comparing costs because we're not going to get there, but let's just think about percentages. So two channels was therefore 12 times €2 per month to be able to be shared by a team so that a team could actually post.
12 times €12.
Instead 12 times per month, I said. Did yeah. you not listen? Are you, who's not yeah. listening to my word?
You
so
said
it's two times 12 per month.
You said 12 times €2 a month.
12 times €2 per month.
€12 a month.
12 times 2 is 24. No, it was €6 for one channel, and then it was €12 for a shared channel.
Now you are confusing me because you started it with your sentence, but it was €12 per channel.
Are you going to sit and argue with me all the time? So it is €12 per channel. That's it. Doesn't really freaking matter. This doesn't is so unimportant. Per channel, it costs you 3 bananas. All right, and that those bananas were payable every month. So you had to have 36 bananas per channel. And of course, if you go with two channels, so you have one LinkedIn and one Twitter, then it's now going to cost you 6 bananas per month because you have two channels. So if you go for a third channel, which is what you were saying from a development perspective, yep. you've got to pay 50% again. So you're now up to 3, 6 bananas. 9 bananas a month, all right, times 12. So yes, you're right. If you scale it, it is very expensive to scale.
It is, and what I also seeing, or maybe it's me, but you have a lot of options in those tools you will never ever use.
That is true too. That is true too. So they're bonus then.
There are a bonus that you are paying for, which you will never be using. So.
Okay, let's think about this from a developer's perspective then. All right, so you're now the developer, so you ask for my requirements. So I'm guessing I tell you that what I'd like to be able to do is to post a picture and some text and some URLs and some hashtags into both Twitter and LinkedIn, and I want to be able to decide what date they get posted.
Yes.
So you build that.
I would build one extra option in there.
Okay.
That you are able to tag persons in both social
okay.
networks.
Okay, all right, fine. You're being your ego again. Developer says you can't do that unless you do this. No, but that's fine. This is part of the requirements gathering process.
Yes.
Developers are allowed to help us make sure, but that's fine. So, but what I'm trying to get to at this point is that if you needed to add a second channel, I'm guessing you could not quite cut and paste it, but it would be you would be able to reuse a lot of the code.
It is. So with the reusing that you can do, it will be easier to add new channels in there. And you have your requirements. There will be some slight difference, like the API calls will be different because you are going to different social networks. And they will require different body and all of that. But in the main, the code stays the same except of that call.
Yeah, okay. So there's a little bit of extra work to do.
Yes.
It keeps you busy.
Yes.
Because we all know that developers sit on their ass, put their feet on their desk and just browse the net trying to find something to do.
I wish that was true.
Oh, no, it's true. I've seen it happen. Actually, I do remember changing the subject again like I always do. So when I was a lot younger, let's just say when I was a lot younger, I worked in the city of London. It was the days when everybody worked 12 or 14 hours, and I was in some of the stockbrokers'
buildings. Are those days gone then?
No, they probably haven't. But in the office is what I should have said. But I was installing cables. I was working for the team putting the switchboards and things in. And there was a guy sitting at his desk, and he was in the programming section. He was a programmer. And he was just laid back in his chair, and he was got his hands on the keyboard, staring at the screen, just going click, 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 doing all this stuff. And when I walked past half an hour later, there's a guy at his desk sitting in his chair, the keyboard going click, 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 click. He never moved for hours. I have no idea what he was doing. He just never moved. I thought, okay, he's just going to sleep. He's got those glasses on where their eyes are painted on the lenses, so he looks like he's awake, but he's asleep. He just never moved. Is that what COBOL programmers do? Whereas other people don't. But it was a very weird scenario. This guy never moved.
Yes, it is. And it's even not healthy. You need to get away from your computer so now and then get some fresh air. Otherwise, you cannot think rational about
it. It coloured my image of what a developer was from day one, you know. It was quite funny to see. It
so was, you need to change your image of a developer now.
Okay, you're going to do that for me.
It will be hard, but yes, we will try.
All right, no, that's cool. Well, no, it is changing. It's quite neat. But anyway, go back to where we're at. So So just comparing those two areas before we move on. So in terms of value, so you can basically add additional channels cheaper.
Yes.
And actually, you're missing something here.
What do I miss?
Well, I have to pay this figure every year.
Yep.
Whereas when you finished your development,
it's once.
It's done. It's free. More or less.
Yeah, it all depends on where you want to go, which system you want to have. But most of the time, you have all everything in place in your organization to do those kind of developments.
Except you're not giving me the same functionality that I'm buying for my money.
I'm giving you the functionalities you will use and you will need to have. Instead of buying a package that is delivering more, where you maybe are going to use 50% of it. So you have more, you have a better value for your money.
So every year I pay an extra €300 for my event, okay, which is the equivalent to about 6 hours of work based upon the figures recently issued about how much it costs people to work for an organization. So if I then need to have a bunch of extra functionality, you're going to cost me more than it costs me to run this software for a year. Because I would think any change you need to do is going to take more than 6 hours. The requirements gathering, 2 hours? I'll be nice to you. 90 minutes. All right? Yes. The requirements gathering. Documenting it?
Yes.
90 minutes?
Yeah. For documenting, we can use Copilot now, so that's another thing.
Okay, so 89 minutes then. All right, so you've got your documentation. You've obviously got to build the code.
Yeah.
Test it, roll it out into production. Yep. This is all going to take realistically 12 hours, 15 hours, depending upon how complicated it is.
Yes.
So, in fact, my application is going to cost me €400 a year, which is the equivalent of about 6 or 8 hours of one person's time working. But you're going to take longer than that if I need some extra functionality.
And who says, yes, if you need extra functionality, but do you want every year extra functionality?
Well, one assumes that an out-of-the-box application will improve in some space. Or, let's just really have a dig at this for a moment or two, social media change all the time. So, for example, Facebook, they had a huge change. I know we weren't talking about Facebook, but Facebook social media had a change about what you and how you were allowed to communicate with it to be able to post things. So it stopped allowing you to put certain kinds of links in and that kind of stuff. So you would have to start modifying your code whenever every social media changes.
Not necessary. Because they can change things, but if in the back the API calls and the way they need to receive the API calls stays the same, it
good
could
call.
Be possible that you don't need to change your code, that it stays working.
All right, but it might do it. It might or might not.
Yes.
But generally, when you've got your own application, then it's going to cost you more money to make a change than if you used out of the box.
Yes, I do know if you would use PHP, a totally different programming language, and they do major updates, then you are screwed. Because then you need to redo every calls in there, because most of the time there will things be broken.
No, so we're assuming there's an API. Most of these are modern software anyway. They'll be API based. So we can assume that. And that's fine. But it's just a general assumption, quite honestly, that if I was to have two channels in my application with the pricing was 48 a month. So by the time you've done that, you've got €600 or something, which is about whatever, 8 or 10 hours. And the only reason I know this is I'm running, preparing another PowerPoint presentation for the community for a presentation, and I've started looking at how much it costs to actually employ somebody and give them office space and do their work and all that kind of stuff. So that moves. So, all right, so to keep it updated, the downside of an out of the box, though, to be fair, is that I have to wait for new functionality to come out. So it actually costs me time and effort to reload it or retrain or anything else. If things like Facebook change the way they want something posted, then I either have to change it or wait for an update.
Yes, you will need to wait for an update. It won't be that easy for you, for yourself, to change it directly in that kind of software. But most of the time, they are well aware that there will be coming an update and they will be prepared for it. So when Facebook was changing, most of the softwares were prepared for it as well.
No, that's true. That's true. So I still think it's better to buy the software than to develop it yourself. It's cheaper.
You say it's cheaper.
Okay, it is cheaper. You said you couldn't add an extra channel on there for less than, what, 4 or 5 hours?
It was your suggestion. I developed.
I'm the user.
I developed it, the basic functionalities we need to have. I developed it in 3 hours.
Seriously?
Yes.
So you're gonna. So we don't need to buy the one for FusionTalk because you've got it working?
I have put working. The only thing I didn't have working yet, I still need to see how to get those data in, is the analytic part of it. But sending out the messages to the social media works. I am even able to tag people in LinkedIn, what isn't possible with your solution that you are going to buy. So.
Ooh, so you're going to have additional functionality.
Yes.
That is true, of course. That's one of the big advantages, isn't it, of developing it yourself.
Yep.
But if it was that easy, it would be just added to my software.
Yes, but it's not that hard. So why it's not in your software?
I don't know.
So is it something nobody ever told them that it's missing?
I don't know. Well, okay, but that's true. So generalizing again, out-of-the-box software could well have some restrictions.
Yes, but it really is, if you're creating your solution as well, you can think about a solution and then IT says A or developers say this is just not possible, which is perfectly normal that some things aren't possible, like an end user or a user is thinking of it. So, and then you need to start being creative and thinking about other ways of fixing these things.
True.
But at the end, most of the time, if you start developing something your own, it's more expensive at the beginning because you need to spend more time. You need to develop, you need to test, you need to let users test it as well. So you had use time of your users as well. So yes, if it is depending on the cost, most of the time it's better to buy a solution.
Depending on the call. I honestly don't agree. I think actually it's better to develop it, but we'll carry on with this conversation because we're not finished yet. So I have to pay regardless. And also, if they suddenly decide to stop creating the software, then I have to suddenly change and find other stuff out.
Yeah.
So there are some downsides of doing that. One of the other things about developing your own software that I want to touch about is to ask you how busy you are. Because presumably you have other work to do within the organization as well. It's not that you're going to suddenly be able to drop the work and say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow.
No, of course not. And that's also what I already mentioned earlier, is about how much time do we have to deliver the software? If you just say, yes, we need to have it in 2 weeks, you are better off with buying something.
Yeah.
Developing it yourself costs time.
Yeah, it does. But it does give you the ability to have exactly the precise functionality that you want.
Yeah.
That is the real upside. Assuming you've got good developers that are able to find out and actually build it.
Yes.
And I know you're a great developer, so I'll get exactly what I need. Sorry, one has to do that. So going back to this a little bit. So maybe the real answer is it depends in how quick I need the functionality. So that's one consideration. If it's something that I don't need quickly, then, hey, I can give it to you guys. You can put it into your backlog, put some kind of priority on it, and then basically go ahead and start building it.
Yes.
And as long as I don't have a dependency on time, we're good. I need time and effort to do the requirements gathering, of course. So I need a clear idea of what I want, but I have software showing me that. So that's always quite good, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the most fun part of getting those software tools, is they give most of the time a free trial of 14 days and you can see what they do. And you learn about your requirements, what you really need to have and what you don't need to have. So, yes, you have examples available.
The other thing is that I could go down the line of buying the software for a year, and then that gives you a year to sit there and schedule time to look at it, for me to find out what the requirements are, what I used most, what's the upside and downside, the strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, with a quarterly get-together, we can review exactly what works and what doesn't, so that basically gives you a clear idea of where you're going.
Yes, and it also gives you the time to deep test your solution that you are going to develop. Because you can do testing, users can do testing, but testing is not something you can do at 1 week. You need more, have more time for it and more people involved in it.
It also means the testing can be done comparing the application itself.
Yes.
All right. So bottom line on this, as far as I can work out, seems to be that in our particular case, we have a software solution that is ready and available to buy, and it's not tens of thousands of euros. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about Salesforce, of course, then you're never going to build your own Salesforce. That makes no sense whatsoever.
No, not at
all. But something smaller that is basically a kind of garage-level application, you know, like social media, I think, is a good example of that.
Another example you may have are websites where you have a user part in it so that they can register as a user and then they can do a lot of more stuff on their sites.
Yeah.
So you can buy solutions for that.
Yeah.
Or you can have developers working on it.
No, but I think the same argument. Let's buy the solution for a limited amount of time, 6 months, a year, whatever the minimum is. Use that to gain the experience of what you need to do. Use that to make the decision on whether it's feasible to build this and whether it literally makes sense. And then just cancel it as and when you need to, because you now have an online version ready to go. Yep. You've got some idea of how long it takes. You've got some idea of what the capabilities and limitations are. You've got some idea of what functionality you're going to use from the original tool. And you've got to the point then where you end up with the customization capabilities of what you need, and away you go.
Yes. And if you have in-house developers at your company, they most of the time maybe don't be able to build it completely. You need to have a firm doing it for you. But after that, for all of the updates, your in-house developers can learn about it and can stay up to date. And they can say, hey, maybe we need to do this or this.
Yeah, it does depend a lot, really, on your organization. There's no doubt about that. So you need to be willing and experienced enough. I mean, at the organization I'm at the moment, we actually have a bunch of developers that are already specializing in low code. It's not the Microsoft low code. It's the, you know, we have an outsource low code supplier. And that product is very quickly and easy to knock applications up. We had an example of this just recently because we had a manual process for collecting the dirhams every Thursday lunchtime. So a dirham is a kebab, for those that don't know. So it's a takeaway, an IT. Every Thursday lunchtime, we all go out and we have a kebab at the local shop. And what we did was we got a sheet of paper and somebody ran around the room with a pen writing down what they wanted. And somebody turned around and said, so what job is it we do? Well, we do software development. Ha ha. So we need an app. And so, yes, they used the low code to build the app. Now, yep. As an example, I mean, it works very well indeed. But now what tends to happen is that the localized teams just all get together and do it on one go. They don't. Everybody doesn't do it themselves. They can do if they want to, but it's just easier to do it this way. But nobody runs around with a pencil and paper anymore. And it was great fun because at the end of the year, when we did all the statistics of how IT had done, how many printouts we've done and how many gigabytes and terabytes and memory and stuff we're using and blah, 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 we was also able to say how many dirhams we'd had this year, how many people liked Fritz and didn't like Fritz. But as a bit of an exercise on how to develop these, yes, kind of, it was great.
But actually, those are the great examples. If you have a developer team, to let them start working on those things. In how many companies do you still have forms in Word documents that they need to fill in to get a new computer or to have some new software installed or what else?
No, I agree.
Start with those things. You can probably find solutions for it and predefined forms and apps or what else. But if you have a developer team, let them start working on the low code for doing this kind of things.
No, I agree entirely. At the moment, we have a couple of great interns in at the moment, and they had different jobs to do. But I decided I wanted to put my toe into the water of Copilot for the organization. We were not going to run a big test and stuff. But just for a few licenses, I was able to throw the interns at them with a very strict brief. Guys, I want you to go and find out what this is going to do. Think about the roles in the company. Find out where the value is and report back to us, just because we hadn't got time to do it ourselves. Yep. And now we did a demo last week and all the developers are suddenly going, oh, we can use that. Oh, we can use this. And so we're able to take that out-of-the-box application, work out how it fitted in the organization, demonstrate it, and now all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of functionality. They're going, ooh, I wonder if I can do that, and ooh, I wonder if I can do this. And so the same with these other applications. You buy the application, you try it, you test it, and then you say, okay, does it make sense to keep buying this, or can we actually develop this in-house?
Yes. So it's... If you are going through this process of buying or developing, it's a long process and you really need to think about what
you... You said it was only 3 hours.
Developing itself was 3 hours for what we needed.
I know.
But for larger companies or other things, you need to have well aware of what there is, what you want and where you want to go to.
No, I agree entirely. All right. That's quite cool. Because it's the kind of decisions that you make all the time without thinking about them anymore.
Yes.
You know, just the fact that Kevin asked the question. I mean, he also added, you know, what about the software you buy that you just need to configure? So there's that in-between thing. So you don't buy an application that's doing the job. You don't develop it yourself. You buy an application that gives you the basic functionality that you can then configure accordingly. And he quoted SharePoint as an example for, you know, you take SharePoint out of the box, doesn't cost you anything, but the functionality and the value from it is low.
Yes. You need to start creating all of the rest, the libraries, metadata, and everything involved with SharePoint. And it takes time.
No, I agree. But there are so many real examples out there. We're putting cloud-built websites together and software for running the event. And, you know, we're using pre-built software that allows you to configure it. You take Wix websites. My website is built on Wix. I could go and build it myself. It doesn't look as cool as somebody configuring it that's got expertise in that. WordPress. Those middle section areas will get you started and then allow you to bring some expertise in to make it better and improve it.
It is. And some of those options you can have for free. But if you really want to go to the professional things, you need to buy those options as well. But
true.
If we are talking about WordPress or anything else, you can create them yourself if you are into WordPress development.
And there's a bunch of out-of-the-box ones if they're acceptable.
Yes.
But they're boring and everybody uses them.
Most of the time, yeah. Everyone's using them.
It reminds me, in the book Ready Player One, which, of course, every IT nerd should have read by now, or watched the movie, but they talk about virtual reality worlds.
I haven't read the book.
You've
or
not read the book, Ready Player One. You're a software developer. I thought it was a holy Bible of software developers. Ready Player One. It's a great idea where a software company built a virtual world and everybody now spends more time in the virtual world than they do in the real world.
Is it The Sims?
Sorry?
Is it The Sims?
It's a kind of Sims, yes, but it's a biggest, better Sims that you're going. But the guy that developed it dies and leaves an Easter egg in there, and the prize of finding the Easter egg is all of his shares in the company. So it's a big, big race. But one of the things that they do say is that you had to... the kit comes, you can buy your kit to build your own planet and your own city, a bit like Sims. But of course, the classic things, and I'm going to quote another movie in a minute that you're not going to know either, but let's imagine a very popular movie, then you take the school and somebody's pre-built that shape so you can rubber stamp it on your place. So throughout this virtual universe, there was like 35 of the same buildings everywhere, and they were trying to find the Easter egg in this building. Of course, you've got to work out which planet they're all on. But it's the same for anything else. Once you take those commercial things that are just, hey, you know, import this template, you're going to have lots of the same templates. So you're not going to stand out, but you may well get the basic functionality. And then you pay for the extras, as you say.
Yes, it is. And the basic of it is just you learn what your requirements really are.
Yeah, that's true. So let's just try and wrap this up then, because we've been talking about 45 minutes and talking more than 20 minutes on software is boring for everybody. So we want to try and move away from that.
Speak for yourself.
I know. All right. So we've actually come up with three options that we need to consider. So I have a problem. In this case, we can use our scenario of social networking. So I need to be able to automatically program and send out auto. No, so I can build an app, buy an application, and I have a price for that application.
Yes.
And so it's the first thing is it's better to take that price over a number of years. So your budget is 5 years. So if it's going to cost you 100 euros a year, then you've got a 500 euro budget to play with. And then you need to think about what functionality I have and how that might change. Okay, and I can, and I'm limited to whatever comes out of the box. So my value is it'll do the core stuff, and I might have some stuff that one day will be useful to me, and I might not. Then you have the kind of software that you can just buy the baseline and configure it yourself. So it's cheaper to buy generally, but you need to invest in it, and you need a certain amount of knowledge.
Yes, and so you need to have people that are willing to learn to get more people involved in it.
That is true. I'd not thought about that. Yes, so you obviously need people to be able to understand how that works. You tend to have fanatics rather than real people, or that sort of, let's call them professionals in that space. So that's that one. But then the other end is to develop it all yourself.
Yes.
And I think that idea of putting it over 5 years is an interesting one, because it will cost you more money up front to develop it, but then it should be less to get the specific functionality you need, and it will add more value anyway, because you will have said, hey, I precisely want this functionality, and you can build precisely that functionality.
Yes. And the fun thing about developing it yourself, yes, now I'm speaking really like a developer, it's just a lot of fun to do. You see the things that are changing, and then you have the euphoria when it works like you want it to work. So it's just good for your ego.
All right. Yes, that developer's ego that doesn't exist. It does really. It really does. And that's okay. To be fair, if I could code, I would be incredibly proud. I can't. All right. And I'm not going to go down that story again. But it is one of those things in my life that I think, man, it would be cool to be able to do that. But I don't think I have the aptitude or the patience sometimes. But it doesn't matter. It's not my skill set.
No, I don't do a lot of coding anymore. And I sometimes really miss it. So the thing that we have done with the social media now was very much fun. And it's more a hobby for me than work. But yes, it is giving me a good feeling when I fix things like that. And I can say, hey, this is working. We can do it ourselves.
All right. So let's put your consultancy hat on for a minute or two. What would you advise your customers to do?
First of all, they really need to know which requirements they have. Then they need to have said, okay, these are the requirements. What time limit do you have? So when do you need to have it? And most of the time they say yes, yesterday, but that's just not possible. They need to be realistic. Then the other thing that I will ask them is, what about budget? How much budget do you have for it? And then just going to compare the solutions.
Yeah.
Comparing the development of it and comparing a built-in solution and then advised and then just make a nice table with all of the requirements and what it will cost to buy the solution, what it will cost to develop it, what a buy-in solution maybe doesn't have.
Yeah.
What you maybe do have with a buy-in solution and you don't have with the developing, and then present it.
So let me break that down from a business perspective. So what you would actually sit there and say, look, this is your timeline. And First of all, it's, can we do it in the timeline? Can we not? That might be a decision-making criteria. The second one is the functionality you need and whether it's in the application that you can buy or whether it's something we'd have to build anyway to get it. And that would be another criteria. And then I think there's a risk analysis underneath it. So How often does it change? How often new features come out that you're going to need to adapt? How stable is the social media platform in this case? Because that's what we're talking about. And I think once you've looked at all of those, you can then weight them in terms of most important, but you can actually put the cost together, the functionalities from the users, which is again all have value. So that's value to the business on cost, value to the end user on terms of functionality, risks, you know, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, some of the functionality that might come in the future.
And maybe one thing we have been forgotten the entire time.
No, that's not possible. We've covered everything.
Support on it.
No, I haven't, because I was going to touch that in a minute. You're right. I had forgot support. What I'd also was going to mention was documenting it, but we did talk about testing and documenting it. But you're right. There will be some support costs. That is very, very true.
And how will the support be if you buy a solution? And can you have a real life support? Do you need to go ask some for some tickets? How much time there will be between the answering, and how much support do you need from your development team?
No, I agree with you. And whether they can respond quickly or not. So again, that fourth area for decision then is, look, we can build it ourselves. You end up with a unique solution, but support is going to be difficult to do, or you know, upgrades might be difficult to time. So, Kevin, we don't have an answer for you, really. But you know this. You're a consultant as much as we are. It's about understanding the end-to-end process and journey to actually create what you need and then making a choice of whether I just buy it out of the box and limit myself to the functionality because I know I can get it and it's there and the costs are this much. Or we're actually going to need more customization than we think. That's important to us. So that has a higher priority, and therefore that will point you towards a development stuff.
Yes, and if you think about another part of the reason why to buy or to develop it yourself, let us know.
Yes, we got some ways. We got some ways of you talking to us.
X, first of all. Oh yeah. Previous Twitter.
Why do I always want to say Twitter?
Don't use Twitter anymore.
I know. X.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
FusionTalk PE, both on their networks. Yep. And also within WhatsApp.
If you go to WhatsApp and you search for
communities, FusionTalk, there you will find us as well.
And then you can always at us there and we will be able to respond quickly. So that's where you get the two-way conversation. Cool, cool, cool. All right. Well, that was an interesting talk. If you do have anything that you want us to add to the process, then you can message us on any of those processes. We've still got plenty of things we wanted to talk about, but as Kevin suggested this, we thought it was a good idea to give you our opinions on that.
Yes, I do like this kind of subjects.
Yeah, so do I. And it works. We have a developer and we have a business guy. All right, and we get to see different perspectives from all of this stuff.
Only we don't know who has the biggest ego.
We don't know the biggest ego. That is true. I think that is true. You certainly don't know who has the bigger ego. I know who has the bigger ego, but maybe you don't. But there you go. Do you want me to get you a mirror? Then you can see a... No. Neither of us really have egos. We're both MVPs. We both work in the community. We both want to help people, and that's what we do best. So that's cool. Do we have any... we haven't got no confirmed speaking engagements yet where people can come and see us.
Not together, but in the 19th of March, I will be speaking in Paris.
Yes, and then you're doing Lausanne.
Yes, then the 5th of April, I will be in Lausanne, and the week after, I will be in Warsaw.
Yes, so will I, in Warsaw, for those of us that speak English. that's all right. Yes, so you will actually get to see Maureen and I doing our governance workshop. Come and join us.
I will miss that one.
Yes, you will still be on a plane flying in.
Yes.
Can't get the support when you need it nowadays. It's really, really bad. No. I know you're busy doing all your other stuff. I get that. So there's a few things and a few opportunities. We've presented, we've made suggestions for some other events, and as soon as they come out, we'll let you know. So in the meantime, Steve Dolby here. I'm going to sit there and say goodbye. Hope you've enjoyed this Fusion talk, and we'll catch up with you at some point in the future.
Well, thank you again, Kevin, for this amazing suggestion. It was very much fun to do. Thank you all for listening, and hope to hear from you all. Goodbye.